This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Performance Anxiety on the Pantheon Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Mark. And today's guest makes me feel velvety, and that works on a lot of levels here. Welcome Stan Demesky, drummer for the Feelies. They've released their first ever live album, but there isn't a Feelies song to be found on it. It's all Velvet Underground all the time. But before we get there, Stan talks about his early days, being a product of New Jersey school bands, his early recording history, and how he started playing with the Feelies. He also talks about how the band was dropped by A&M Records in a fax. But after that, he landed a gig playing with the band Luna. He talks about how he met and began playing with Dean Wareham in the band, and after years of being disbanded, how the Feelies reunited. And both Sonic Youth and REM play a big part in getting that done. All of this resulted in the band's new release on Bar None Records, Some Kind of Love. As stated earlier, it's all live and all Velvet Underground covers. Stan also discusses the time the band played with Lou Reed. So check out Some Kind of Love on Bar None, wherever you listen to new music. Get updates on the Feelies' Facebook and Instagram pages. Follow us at Performance ANX on socials. And you can show us support with coffee money at ko-fi.com/performanceanxiety or buy merch at performanceanx.threadless.com. Now prepare for some rock and roll, Velvet Underground style with Stan Demesky of the Feelies on Performance Anxiety, part of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
I'm sorry, my son was just rolling his exit across the floor upstairs. What is the podcast name again? I'm sorry. Hi, this is Stan Demesky from the Feelies, and you're listening to Performance Anxiety Podcast. I hope you buy and enjoy our new Velvet Underground cover record, Some Kind of Love, on the fabulous Bar None record label.
This is... Howard sent me the... he sent me a several things over the years here, but the new album by the Feelies is... so interesting, but I want to kind of find out how you got to that point. So, what I usually like to do is start from the very beginning, going back to how you got into music in the first place. And so, you grew up in New Jersey, which
everybody in the band is from New Jersey.
I grew up in New Jersey as well, and I thought it was such an amazing. Yeah. Like Central Jersey, Branchburg.
That's not New Jersey.
Branchburg area, like Somerset, Hunterdon County.
That's a different state.
It is. It really is. Yeah, I lived there for like 13 years or so. Between there and Scotch Plains and all, and so I loved growing up in that area. The music is amazing. You get the New York influence, the Philadelphia influence. It's you get everything there, and. When you were growing up, what was it in New Jersey that really grabbed your attention musically, that really got you interested in music in the first place?
Well, I was born in Jersey City. I didn't live there that long.
Okay.
I grew up mostly in Lyndhurst, which is right by Giants Stadium.
Yep.
We moved out for a couple of years, but we didn't move far. We moved to a town called West Paterson, which is really close to where I live now and not far from Lyndhurst, actually.
Okay.
So I was born in 1960. I had an older brother and sister. My brother was 6 years older. My sister was 5 years older. And back then in the 60s and through a good amount of the 70s, you had really good AM radio. It was all, I mean, the top 40 was like, you know, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and a lot of other really neat bands. And then by the time the 70s came around, you started having like WCBS FM, an oldie, really good oldie station.
Oh, yeah. I love that station.
Played all the stuff from, you know, the 60s. So I just heard a lot of that music, and I heard what my older brother and sister were listening to. And their friends, were always trying to like expose me to different music too. So I was, I had a lot of older mentors, so to speak.
And an amazing era of music to listen to grow up listening to, and to be influenced by. What was it that started you playing music? And you're the drummer for the Feelies, so was drums your first instrument?
Yeah, I guess when I was in third grade, they had a school band day. And they had like basically they pulled us over to the junior high school, and they had like a little concert band performance. And also they had in our classroom, they had a poster with the band instruments you could play. And I saw the snare drum, and I was just really, I thought it was really neat. You know, it was a nice chrome one. And I was just attracted to drums right away. I wanted to play guitar too, but drums just drew me in more.
So it was school band that really first...
The first exposure to really, you know, to actually playing an instrument gave me the idea of actually playing an instrument, I would say.
I love that. All three of my kids were band kids, so I love that. How old were you outside of like school bands? When did you start playing in your own bands?
Well, I started playing the drums. I guess I got a snare drum for Christmas of 69. I didn't really learn how to play for like about a year until one of my brother's friends was selling his drum set. I got that, and I didn't really learn for a little while yet. I guess like the first couple songs I learned how to play were, you know, not very well. I could just, you know, play along to were Brown Sugar, which was current, Let It Be, which was not so current.
Okay.
So I kind of lost track of what your question was.
That's fine. I actually love that. When did you start playing in your own bands outside of school?
Bands. I'm sorry. It wasn't too long after that. So I'd say I started playing in school band probably in 72, spring of 72. I joined school band. Then I guess the first actual kind of rock band would be probably around 74 or so. 75 maybe.
Okay.
75. When basically I could play drum set and I could play drum set parts and stuff like that. It was finding people who could play guitars and basses. I was, and not to say I was ahead of everybody, but I was ahead of everybody. Eventually I found like a guy who could play guitar. Then another one of my friends was taking up guitar. One of my friends who was in school band who played alto saxophone, I convinced him to buy a bass guitar and learn how to play bass. And he always insisted that he was going to do it anyway, but I think I pushed him to do it a little bit sooner. And he went out to a band called Winter Hours later on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. In the research, I've became a little bit familiar with them. When did you start gigging? I hear a lot of, especially in that time frame, that a lot of guys are like, oh yeah, I started gigging when I was like 13 or 14 and I had to have my parents drive me to a bar.
Well, we played like, I guess we played like a couple. I started playing in bars and school dances, mostly in cover bands, probably when I was 16.
Okay.
I guess like the drinking age was probably still 21 at that point. I was going into bars when I was 16 to play. And I looked really young too. I mean, I was tall. I had a baby face up until like, you know, I turned like 40 really. So it was around 1977 or so. Where I really 77 and 78 was when I was really playing in cover bands and bars, and it would be like the four or five sets a night thing.
Oh, wow.
That kind of like, especially in my senior year of high school, we were doing that. And through the summer, I was doing that summer between senior year and college, I did a lot. And that was around the time when I really realized, you know, we got to start playing our own music. I mean, I kind of knew it before then because I was aware of the New York punk rock scene, and I'd seen television when I was 16, and that really had a huge impact on me as far as, you know, You didn't have to look like Robert Plant, and you know, you could still write your own music and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
It took a while to finally get out there and start doing it. I mean, I didn't write music, so it was my friends who had it. I played with who had to come up with their own songs. But then eventually I ended up joining the Feely. So
the first time you were writing or playing original music, is that with the Phosphenes?
No. It was a band called, at first, it's the band that eventually became Winter Hours.
Oh, okay.
We were initially called Autonomy. We put out one god-awful single that I have about 500 copies in my disc. And then that band, we got rid of the singer. We had two singers. The first singer we kicked out for, you know, stupid reasons. Second singer we kicked out because he was just a pompous twit. And then, don't tell my dad. Oh. And then,
my lips are sealed.
And then we became the band that really turned into Winter Hours. We were called Ward 8. And we recorded demos and stuff like that with Rob Norris from the Bongos.
And okay.
Then I went on my first Feelies tour, and this would have been the summer of 84. And in that time, when I came back, by that time I came back, it was only like a month. But I had been replaced, which was fine. I was mad but relieved.
Oh, wow, okay. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Before you skip over this ad, give me 1 minute. Like most podcasts, I pick sponsors carefully, and I use the products that advertise here. Pure Spectrum CBD is a product that has been really beneficial for me. They have a wide variety of great products that can be used on a daily or as-needed basis. I've been using the tincture every day, and it's been wonderful for easing anxiety. And I absolutely love the isolate. I use it instead of acetaminophen or ibuprofen, and it's worked so well for the relief of aches and pains. They also have soaks, lotions, salves, gummies, and more, plus an entire line for fitness recovery. They even have products for your pets. See everything they offer at purespectrumcbd.com. And if you have questions, they're there to help. They helped me when I had no idea where to start. After you fill your cart, use code PERFORMANCEANX for 15% off your purchase. Pure Spectrum CBD, Pure Spectrum CBD, Pure Spectrum CBD. How did you end up hooking up with the Feelies? Because you appear on the first Feelies album. You're not the only drummer on there, but...
I'm not on Crazy Rhythms.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay, I'm sorry.
There's a bonus track. When it got reissued by A&M, there was a bonus track of Paint It Black. I played on that.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
I see a red door and I want to paint it black. No colors anymore, I want them to be black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes. I see a line of cars.
I guess basically I started going to Maxwell's pretty early on. It must have been like 80, maybe. I think it was 1980. It was right before the first time I went to see the Feelies, too. And the first time I went to Maxwell's, it was actually like a Feelies offshoot band called the Hoboken Hodads, which was two guys from the Bongos and Keith from the Feelies and his brother who had been in the Feelies but wasn't in the Feelies anymore at that point.
Okay.
I'm technically drummer number four in the Feelies. Dave, the percussionist, was the first drummer. Vinny D'Annunzio was second. Anton was third, right. then me.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then at that point, they had one album out.
I guess that came out in 1980. First time I saw them was September 11th of 1980. And I saw their next three New York shows. I guess they played Irving Plaza right after John Lennon was shot. In the new year, they played. I mean, there used to be tons of clubs in New York back then, and they would all, like, you know, bands would go on at like 1 a.m. at the earliest.
Oh, geez.
And at a venue called the Rock Lounge. Then Anton, they went to California after that, I think, for a brief tour. It was only like a few days. Then Anton was really, you know, kind of a happening drummer back then and was playing a lot of different people. And, I don't know if he actually officially quit or not, But I was playing in various bands at Maxwell's, and Steve Allen said, oh, the Feelies are looking for a drummer. And he arranged, put me in touch with Keith D'Annunzio, who called me, and I went and auditioned for them. So this was like the summer of 81. We only played like, I think we rehearsed like maybe four or five times, and we never played out as the Feelies at that point.
Okay.
We stopped for a little while. It was maybe like a couple months, maybe 4 or 5 months. Then in the next, pretty early on in the next year, Bill called me and asked me if I wanted to continue playing, but it wasn't going to be as the Feelies. It became the Willies, which is basically like, you know, an instrumental, more experimental band.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Feelies. We would do some Feelies music, but more instrumental and kind of like, it was similar to the demos they had worked up for their second Stiff album, which never came about. But so it's right around in there, time-wise. And then I guess Anton had contacted them and wanted to do some playing again. So they got the idea to use all three of us, me, Dave, and Anton. So Anton played the main drum set parts, and Dave and I played the percussion parts. That version of the band played, I think, maybe four shows. And that was, I think, only in 1983.
Oh, wow.
And I guess after that, it seemed like Anton wasn't going to do it. They seemed to have a lot of friction between them.
Yeah.
And Glenn and Bill. That's my opinion. They may disagree on that. And then in 84, we went back to, actually, Brenda started playing with the Tripes, which was an offshoot of the band, the Feelies, in 1983. Sorry, I'm jumping around so much.
No. Because I actually have a lot of questions about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it does cover a lot of what you're probably wondering, asking. So Brenda was playing with the Tripes, and then she started playing with the Willies, because that band kept evolving as far as the instrumentation and who played. Although it was the core of me, Dave, Bill, and Glenn. And then I guess we decided to do a tour in the summer of 84. And that was, I guess we played our first show. We played a Willie show at Princeton in the spring of 84, which we were called the Willies, but we were basically playing the Feelies stuff and some of the new music that was eventually ended up on The Good Earth, the second record. In the late summer of 84 as the Feelies for about a month in the United States. And there was no turning back from there.
Obviously not, because you've been a part of like every, it seems like every Feelies offshoot. So obviously the Feelies, the Willies, Young Woo, Speed the Plow, the Tripes. And so that's all from this Haledon core group of guys, isn't it?
Sort of. I'm the only one who actually lives in Haledon, and I'm not from Haledon. I met my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are the two main people from the Tripes and Speed the Plow.
Okay.
I met my brother-in-law and my future brother-in-law and sister-in-law pretty early on when I started playing with Bill, Glenn, and Dave and Keith. And they had the Tripes at that point. Then eventually Dave joined the Tripes and he became a little bit unreliable. And eventually they kind of told me, oh, you're going to play with us now. So I didn't have a choice. And then I ended up meeting my wife through my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, my future wife.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she's lived in hell. She's lived on the same street her entire life so far.
Wow.
That's where I'm sitting in my living room now. And you can see our Halloween decorations today.
I see that. I got that. Still that jack-o'-lantern in the background. So this whole time, so you're putting out albums with the Feelies, Young Woo, you know, put out an album in 87. Speed the Plow in 91. What caused the end of all of that? Because in 92, you start, well, you're on the first Luna release there, Luna Park.
I'm on the first three Luna records.
Right. So how did you meet up with Dean and guys in Luna and move on from the Feelies and that whole group of musicians to Luna?
Well, the Feelies had put out two records on A&M, and the first one I thought did real well. The second one, it was a real changing time for A&M and for major labels in the record business in general, I think. And unless that fourth record had been a big hit, it was pretty obvious we weren't going to continue. It was just it was a little too much to just go out and tour a real lot without, you know, we didn't sell a lot of records. You know, if we would have sold a lot of records without really trying too hard, maybe it would have been different.
Right.
One band member basically moved out of state, and that was in, we played our last shows around July 4th of 1991. I kind of hung around looking for something to do for a couple months. And then I guess in December of 91, Dean gave me a call. And actually, Steve Fallon was the one who got me that as well. So he has had a lot to do in my so-called musical career. And actually, I was in the Phosphines too, which was with his future brother-in-law.
Oh, so okay.
I wasn't the original drummer for the Phosphines, but the Phosphines were kind of based in Lyndhurst, which was where Winter Hours was from too. There was a lot of music down in Lyndhurst as well. And anyway, I wasn't going to join Luna. I was just going to play some of the songs on the first record. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the drummer they had, who was actually a band member, became a bit more and more undependable. And then it was official that the Feelies had gotten dropped from A&M. They faxed us our release, actually.
Oh, wow.
They thought we were dropped. You know, it's typical major label stuff.
Yeah.
And
as impersonal as you can get.
I just kept on playing with Luna, basically, because, you know, I wasn't getting paid a lot of money, but I was getting paid money. So
to play drums.
Yeah, I needed to keep an income going, and it enabled me to do so for about four and a half years.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
I'm looking at your Discogs page right now, and the Bewitched album. I mean, I just remember seeing that everywhere.
Decent amount of promotion and stuff, but you know, there was a lot of backlash, I think, from Dean breaking up as people perceive the Galaxy 500, which I guess he did leave the band.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of resentment about that, I felt, you know, and had nothing to do with me.
Right.
Especially in England. It was real bad in England.
Oh, really?
the British press really seemed to really, they really didn't like our first record and basically blamed it on Dean. And it was really, you know, the Brits are like, British music press is pretty bad.
Right. Yeah. The British press in general, from what I understand.
But, yeah, we played for 4.5 years. And again, we didn't sell a whole lot of records. So then towards the end of that, they wanted me to, you know, I was an employee of the band. I was never really a band member, although, you know, I kind of was, but I never really wanted to be, you know, like, I mean, Dean was the only one who was signed to the record label, as far as I know. I certainly wasn't.
Oh, okay.
And they started wanting to do tours and stuff where I wasn't going to get paid except for per diems, and I refused. And then I got shown the door at that point.
Wow. Yeah.
In 1996, summer of 1996.
Jeez.
And after that, I worked for 2 years part-time at a local farmer's market. And then I got a job where I work now. I've been there 26 years.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Sort of.
I know what you
mean.
I've been at mine for 13, and so I kind of understand what you mean by kind of. I guess the question I have really about Luna is, did you know Dean before you started playing with him?
There was talk of them, of Galaxy 500 opening one of our fourth album tours.
Oh, wow.
And I thought we decided against them, but Dean always said, no, we chose to open for the Cocteau Twins instead. I don't know why we would have chosen against them, but we went with another band that had, it was a two-piece instead of a three-piece. And they were quite good, the Chickasaw Mud Puppies. I'm sure I would have enjoyed Galaxy 500 as well, but that just didn't work out. So I didn't know any of those guys before I started playing with them. When Dean called me, I was basically going to tell him, you know, no, thank you. But he said the magic words of we'll pay you.
So. Yeah. It's amazing what those words will do.
It did work. I mean, he was always very nice and everything. So it's not like, I'm sure if I knew him beforehand, I would have been friends with him to start with.
So after Luna, you said, you know, you started working and all, but you still appeared, you're still playing. Cause I have
not a lot,
but I see that you appeared on albums by Ivy, Bob Perry, a Winter Hour.
Ivy was done right at the end of Luna.
Ah, okay.
And probably in May of 96. From Lynn Hurst too, and he was in the last version of Ward 8, and then he was in Winter Hours.
Okay.
And he's actually the first guitar player I ever played with in eighth grade stage band. Nice. So that was done right when I was still in Luna too, because Justin played on some of it, but it was really right at the end.
Okay.
So, and during those years, I mean, I played a little bit with Speed the Plow, renamed itself as Sunburst, and we did a little bit of playing, not very much at all, though.
Okay.
And every now and then, like Young Woo would play, like if Yodel Tango asked us to play the Hanukkah show or something like that.
Yeah.
In general, I barely played for about 17 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I would play the drums a little bit. Mostly I played guitar, just sitting around, fooling around. But unless I have like a project to work on, I find it hard to really sit down and practice for the drums for a couple hours at this point, or through those years.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had a family.
Years, I was kind of like, you know, why bother?
Yeah. Well, you know, you also had other priorities, you know, family and a job and stuff. So, I mean, it's understandable.
Yeah. Going to work takes a lot out of you. And at home at night, it's kind of hard to go down and play for 2 hours, but that's what I do now.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Okay. So
you're interrupting me, actually.
I apologize. We'll wrap this up.
I'm going to go down after we play. So after we get to this, so don't worry.
Oh, okay, good, good. All right. I don't want to take time away from practice. So what brought the Feelies back together? Because I heard that, I believe it had something to do with Sonic Youth. Was that the impetus to bring it back together?
Really, I think that's, you know, the easy answer. It just, they wanted us to open a show for them at the Battery Park on the 4th of July. But I think it was just, I think it had kind of been coming about, the talk between Bill and Glenn. And that may have been the event that really actually made us follow through and do it. But it seemed like it was going to happen one way or the other.
Oh. After a while. Okay. But Sonic Youth is a good impetus. It's a good, you know, hey, you know what, Sonic Youth wants us to do, let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that I guess Steve Fallon had wanted us to do it. It was really up to Bill and Glenn. It's their band, you know. And when they were, I think when Bill was ready to start playing again is really, in my opinion, is why we started playing again.
One of the other things, kind of along the same lines as Sonic Youth wanting you guys to open a show, you also played in the music of R.E.M. in 2009 at the request of R.E.M. So that's amazing to me.
I guess so. We opened, we did play, that is. We played one song at Carnegie Hall. I guess it was at their request. I'm not really sure. But we did do one of the Good Earth tours was opening for them for I think 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks on the Pageantry tour.
Oh, wow.
So they've always been very supportive. They were always really nice people. They deserve the success they've achieved.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So this kind of, you know, the Sonic Youth playing the REMs, is that what got the band to play more often and actually start thinking about putting out a new album? Because a couple of years after the REM show, you guys released Here Before.
Is it too late to do it again? Or should we wait another 10?
I think that was in 2011, I believe.
I forget what year it was, but yeah, after we got back together in 2008, I think.
Yeah.
And then it was a couple of years, and then we did the fifth record.
Yeah.
And then we did another record after that.
Yeah, in between. Yeah. So were you guys, when you started getting back together and playing in 08 and 09, was it to play live shows, or was the idea to make a new album forming at that time?
I don't think there... You know, there doesn't seem to be really much of a game plan. It's just sort of what happens. And it's always been like that. That's part of the reason why the band hasn't had more commercial success. And I think both Glenn and Bill really weren't trying to get commercial success. They were just playing music that they enjoyed and, you know, having a good time doing it. There's not a lot of a game plan.
Well, it you know, it's kind of worked. I mean, you guys are you have enormously influential fans, like I said, Sonic Youth, REM, and
I don't really see it, but okay. You know, we're a cult band, you know, we make music for other musicians and critics.
Up until this point, the band has never released a live album.
That's
so
true.
The new album that's coming out is
it's out.
Okay, it came out
on the 13th.
It is a live album, but it's not of Feely's music. It's in a very extensive retrospective of Velvet Underground.
Yeah, the band had always covered Velvet Underground songs, you know, from before my time in the band. And it's sort of a bunch that we've covered in the past, or the band has covered in the past, with some ones that the band has never covered. Like the band never did Sweet Jane or Oh Sweet Nothing. Yeah, we do Oh Sweet Nothing on here.
Yes.
Did All Tomorrow's Parties.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
in my opinion, it's a really good version.
Yeah.
And the head held high. We did Heard Her Call My Name. They did in the CBGB's Vinnie Band days. Sunday Morning, we've played on and off. Glenn actually recorded, I think I recorded that on one of his solo records with him. It may even been an outtake. I can't remember, to tell you the truth. And I can't remember the 20. I happen to have the record right over here. See? I got the Ivy record next to it, too. John Coltrane.
Oh, sweet. Oh, man.
My son got me the John Coltrane record for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Let's see. Who Loves the Sun? We've done more in more recent years, as well as There She Goes Again. What Goes On? We recorded on on Only Life.
Okay.
Head Held High, we used to do like in the like 86 or so, not for long. Waiting for the Man is a recent one that we started doing.
That's so good.
Though, because I couldn't hear where it was.
Oh,
it kind of works anyway. White Light, White Heat, we recorded as a bonus track for the fourth record. I said, I Heard Her Call My Name. They used to do in the old days. New Age, we never did before. That was the other song I was thinking of.
Okay.
That's Story of My Life, we never did. All Tomorrow's Parties is newer. Rock and Roll, we've done since we gotten back together. I can't remember when we started, maybe halfway through it.
Okay.
We're going to Have a Real Good Time Together. We used to do that in the old days. We used to do a medley of Run, 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 European Sun, and What Goes on here, which just Run, Run, Run. I Can't Stand It, we didn't do back then, but we've done it in more recent years. After Hours, we did started doing that for the final show at Maxwell's.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Oh Sweet Nothing, like as I mentioned, we only started doing recently. Actually, we've only did it for this record.
Oh, wow. Okay. So when you guys put this together, was the intent to release it as a live album, or was the intent originally to just do the show?
I think it was because they were having that Velvet Underground exhibit in New York, but you know, I don't always get told all this stuff. People deal directly with Glenn and Bill, and they don't always, you know, keep me in touch with what's going on. And if it's something really important, of course they will. But, you know, I think it was spurred on by that. That's what I've been told. But then, you know, also it's like we got to come up with things to do to keep things fresh. And this was, even though it's all doing somebody else's old songs, it was something different.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a band that's been highly influential to you.
They were influential. That I'll give you.
Yeah. Was there a general agreement on the set list? I mean, was it pretty easy to come up with? Because there's 18 tracks on this album. So, you know, it's a good bunch of songs.
A lot of it is what Bill and Glenn want to play.
Okay.
You know, like the Loaded tracks, I think Glenn like suggested those. I mean, he's got to sing them. So, you know, I always defer to that aspect of things. You know, I mean, I can play drums on a lot of different things, but, you know, who's singing it, you know, has got to be able to sing the song, feel comfortable with the range and the lyrics.
Yeah, very true. Very true. So is there plans to do this kind of thing again with an entire Velvet Underground?
I don't think we'll do the whole night. Like, well, actually this wasn't even the whole night. This was the first set. We usually do two sets when we play nowadays. It's an evening with the Feelies. You know, a decent amount of material that we can play, and we kind of like to play for a long time. And it's not easy for us to get together to play because not everyone lives around here. So when we do, I guess we like to make the most of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know We'll be playing some of these songs, but I don't think we'll be doing like a whole set of it unless they change their minds.
Yeah. It's, hey, you know, like you said, it's their band. They do what they want to do. So there was two sets on this night. Was the second set more Velvet Underground or was it more Feelies?
No, the second set was the Feelies set. Oh, okay. It was pretty much like our arena rock set, our festival set.
Oh, nice.
That's what we call it nowadays, our festival set. Well, we can't play that.
So what was your favorite track to play of the Velvet Underground stuff that's come out?
It was nice playing. It was great playing Sweet Jane because, I mean, the first band I played in, we played Sweet Jane. Basically, you know, like a sort of a mutated version of the rock and roll animal version. So playing this was really nice. And we actually played Sweet Jane with Lou one time at a club on Long Island.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
After Only Life had come out. Actually, the tracks are on a bootleg. It's on this. I don't know.
Oh, no.
The stuff is on. It's on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's.
I could also email you the tracks if you'd like to hear them.
Oh, definitely. I would ask.
This is from my tape.
Oh, wow.
A friend of mine used to have a record store in New York, and I loaned him the tape, and I said, "Don't put it out." And he was like, "No, no." And like 6 months later, he's like, "Oh, I didn't put it out. Someone else did." I'm like, "It's from my tape, buddy."
Oh, wow.
And it was the guy from Winter Hours. Oh. See, it all leads back to Winter Hours.
Well, yeah, I would definitely love to hear that. I'll reach out to you and shoot you my email. That would be amazing. So the album is so cool to listen to. I mean, it's so well done. It's called Some Kind of Love. Where is it coming out? I mean, how can people find the album and pick it up?
Well, it came out on Bar None, which is... I feel very lucky to have, like, my record executives were started out with Steve Fallon, then moved on to Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss, and then moved on to Bob Krasnow. And now I'm with Glenn Morrow, who I've known Glenn Morrow probably since, like, he actually auditioned for an early cover band, probably like in 78. That I was in that eventually became Winter Hours.
Oh, wow.
It's a long story. It's a long path. He didn't make the audition because he couldn't sing like Elvis Costello and Led Zeppelin because we were still in the band phase. But I've kind of known him that long.
Wow.
He didn't remember it at all, but it was through a mutual friend. So it's available through Bar None. You can go on their website and get it. I mean, it's in stores if you have an actual record store by you.
Yeah.
Not everyone does.
Unfortunately.
I think you can download it too, but it seems like there were problems with that. I'm not really sure.
Oh, wow.
If I'm home, I prefer to listen to vinyl. I hate to say vinyl. I prefer records.
Right.
I mean, I like CDs too. I don't get the whole cassette thing, you know, why people have a thing for cassettes because they're not that, they don't sound that good.
No, I don't understand that either. My son loves it. I don't get it. I was thrilled when we went from cassettes to CDs. So it's.
Yeah, that was a good thing. I mean, CDs, a lot of them just weren't done that well because they were rushed. But in general, I like records.
Oh, yeah. I get scared of records because I'm so afraid I'm going to scratch them because I don't have a great turntable. I have a decent one, but not a great one. I don't know. Maybe I just scratched way too many as a kid. It's just a fear I've gotten.
Turntable, so, and I have really good speakers. So.
Oh, that's... Well, what's the best way to follow the Feelies and see what you guys are up to? Is it social media accounts that are...
There's a Facebook page, and I put up an Instagram page recently. We have a Twitter page, but there's not a whole lot going on there because of what it's become.
Yeah.
Whatever changes, maybe we'll pick it up again. That's basically the Facebook page is really where it has the most up-to-date stuff.
Oh, awesome.
And I try to share it onto the Instagram page.
Okay, perfect. This has been awesome. I've so enjoyed listening to the live album, and it's been Thanks. Playing constantly. It's it works out perfectly for my commute. I get to hear almost the entire thing on my commute. So it's been a pleasure listening to it, and it's been awesome talking to you and learning more about behind the scenes of the Feelies and the new album.
Thank you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.